I am coming to you from the roof of our church. This roof has played a pivotal role in the life of this building. This building was built in 1974, and for those who used to call One Way home as well as Day Spring, you know that this roof has been a sore spot for this building for many years. In fact, as we merged a year ago and started to have contractors come and look at the building to tell us what we needed to do to fix the leaks inside, they told us, just about every one of them, that they were surprised that the inspectors even approved this roof the way that it was designed. So from the very beginning, this roof has been was designed poorly. It was not designed to do what it needed to do. That's to protect the inside as well as to get the water off of the building, not inside of the building. And so, as you know, we have had tremendous problems with water coming inside of our building. Part of that is the way that they designed the drainage to go really inside of the building. And as that backs up or as there's issues, then that water just comes right inside of the building. And so over the years, the churches that have called this building home have spent thousands of dollars. They have put effort after effort, work after work, into making this roof repairable to try to keep water from coming inside of the building. You can come up on the roof and you can see patch jobs and you can see just the damage and really how some of the drainage was just poorly designed and how water can't even get into the drains properly. No matter what effort has been put into this roof, it only would work for a short amount of time. It would only help prevent the problem and solve the problem of water coming inside of the building for a short amount of time. And then over time, the patches would wear off, or maybe a storm would come through and do some damage, and all of that work would be undone. And so over the years, effort after effort was put in to trying to fix this roof and trying to make it repairable. We can't patch this roof anymore. We can't do any more work to this roof. There's no more effort that we can put into trying to fix what is broken because it was designed poorly from the beginning. And so it's going to take something brand new in order to get it made right. And that reminds me of a scripture that tells us in the Bible how the people would have to, year after year, essentially do spiritual maintenance on their life to try to find right standing with God for just one more year. Today, we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 10 as we talk about having hope for all time. Hope for all time. If you've got your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look there today. So if you've got your Bible or you've turned to your YouVersion Bible app, it'll also be on the screen. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us this: since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the reality itself of those things, it can never perfect the worshipers by the same sacrifices they continually offer year after year. Otherwise, wouldn't they have stopped being offered, since the worshipers, purified once and for all, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in the sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year after year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. What that is telling us is that God gave his people a law to follow. He holds us to that same perfection. That's what would be required of all of us. And so he had given his people the law to follow. And what that law would remind them year after year is, as they had to go and make those sacrifices, that they were sinners, that this sacrifice was not good enough to forgive their sins once for all time. It left them hopeless, knowing that without some greater system, that they would be still having to make sacrifices and offer up animals year after year. It's just like with this roof. Every time that a patch fails and every time that the rains come heavily and they can't get to the drain and it comes into the building, it reminds us that this building, this roof, was designed wrong. It was designed poorly. And just like the sacrificial system, it was to remind mankind that you're a sinner, that this is not sufficient to give you hope. And the reality for every one of us, the truth is that every one of us look for hope. Professional athletes, they feel like hope is found in championships. And when they don't win that championship, and many of you know that the Masters isn't being played at the time this year, this would have been Masters Sunday. This would have been the championship day. Well, we know that those players aren't out there on the field. They're not out playing for that championship. That'll be later this year. But what I've seen over the years is every time an athlete doesn't win that championship, that they express that there's something missing inside of them, that they want to work harder, that it leaves them almost feeling hopeless to the sense that they've got to achieve that championship in order to have hope. Michael Jordan used to talk about it when he was playing basketball, that it fulfilled him in a sense. And now that that's gone, what does he have? He's left empty. People with money, and they seek those things in order to find hope. That's what the sacrificial system was. It was continuously going and practicing this religious practice and going through these rituals in order to try to find some kind of fulfillment just for 1 year. But it wasn't enough. It left them wanting more. It left them needing more. In fact, the scripture told us, the writer of Hebrews told us, that if it could purify, there would have been no need for them to continuously to go and to make those sacrifices. But they had to. And I know that we're in a very desperate time in this Easter season. This is awkward for every one of us to have to do an Easter service on video, to talk to a camera, to have to enjoy it from home, to want to be with your church family. Or maybe for those of you who may be tuning in and you're new to church or you're new to Christianity, maybe trying to find a sense of all of this, trying to find a sense of hope in the midst of despair and light in the midst of darkness. And you're looking and you're trying to find that hope. For some of you, maybe you've turned to things like drugs and alcohol to try to cope and to try to find some kind of fulfillment and peace. For some of you, maybe you've become a workaholic and you've dug yourself into your work so that you don't have to pay attention to the things around you just to find a little bit of peace and a little bit of fulfillment, a little bit of contentment. For some of you, maybe you've dug down deep into your relationships or maybe the lack of those relationships have made you feel like you're missing something because that's where you found your hope and that's where you found your contentment. For all of us, we try to find hope and we try to find contentment in the things that God has created. But if this situation has taught us anything, this coronavirus, this COVID-19, if it's taught us anything, it's that we can't rely on our jobs. I just saw today that another 6 million people filed for unemployment, 10 million people the week before. We can't trust our jobs to give us peace and hope and contentment. If we think that our finances are going to give us what we need to make it through this world and to make us feel like we're content and fulfilled, it will let us down. If we think that our relationships will give us what we need in order to completely give us hope, you know that that will let you down because no relationship is perfect. We all know that. Being closer with family in lockdown and stay-at-home orders shows you that. Maybe some of you have had some of your worst fights in a long time because you're having to spend more time with each other. You're frustrated. Maybe you're worried and you're expressing that to other your family members. And so all of us are looking for hope at some point in our life. And for some of you, in the midst of this darkness and in the midst of this virus, you may be saying, where can I find hope? My job's let me down. The economy's let me down. The stock market has ruined my retirement. I can't go and do the things that I've always wanted to do. Or maybe my health has failed me. Maybe you are one that has been in touch with or your family has been affected by the COVID-19 coronavirus. So all of us know that in this life that we will be let down, that we can't trust the things of the earth. The created things, as the Bible tells us, of the Creator. And so it was no different with the law. It was no different than the Mosaic law. It wasn't to fulfill that which God required of his people. It was only to show them that they needed something greater. That these patches on this roof, that the damage on this roof, the poor design on this roof, shows us that we need something better. We need something that is right. And so this is what the scripture goes on to say in verse 5. It says, therefore, as he was coming into the world, he said, now this is talking about Jesus, it says, you did not desire sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me. You did not delight in whole burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then I said, see, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. When you hear of this man, Jesus, and some of you know him personally, Jesus said as he came and he's talking to his father, and he's like, God, you've given me a body to be able to lay down and to be able to give as the perfect sacrifice, that which you desire. See, some of you feel like, or maybe you've heard from someone, and maybe you're tuning in, maybe a friend started a watch party or shared this video, and so your idea of church is you got to give a lot of money in order for God to be okay with you, or at least from man's perspective. Or you got to attend church every Sunday and be faithful every Sunday for God to be happy with you and to maybe let you into heaven, to forgive your sins. Or you got to be really good and you got to do a lot of social justice projects, or you got to serve in your community in order for God to be happy with you, in order for him to forgive you of your sins. If you're just good enough, and I've heard that from people my whole life, you know, I believe that I'm good enough. I believe God knows my heart and he'll let me into heaven, or he'll be pleased with me. But the Bible says that he's not pleased with us based on our efforts, based on fulfilling the religious law. The religious law was 613 laws, and that wasn't enough. Making all the sacrifices, that wasn't enough. He had something better, and Jesus said that it was him, that he was the one that could bring hope to all people. He was the one that came so that he could lay down his life. That's what we celebrate on Good Friday, that he could lay down his life as that perfect sacrifice so that you and I don't have to follow religious rules and laws. Why do we, as a believer in Jesus Christ, why do Christians do what we do? We do it in worship of God. We do it in honor of him. We do it to love our neighbor, not to try to earn right standing with God or some kind of special favor. We can't do that. We fall short. We can find all the patches to patch up our lives, to try to make up for the sin in our lives, and it still won't be enough. We still fall short. And so Jesus said, I have come to take that the place of all of this law, to fulfill the law so you don't have to, because you can't anyway. So then he goes on and he says this, in verse 8, after he says above, you did not desire or delight in sacrifices and offerings, whole burnt offerings and sin offerings, which are offered according to the law, he then says, see, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Once for all time. Now, unlike the roof, we know that the roof is man-made, and we know that even when we put a brand new roof on, that eventually it's going to have some issues because of wear and tear, the weather, and things like that. But what this roof needed was something brand new. It needed something more than just a patch, and it's no different for our lives. You don't need to focus on following religion. This Easter, it's not about coming to church. That's why maybe in God's providence, he's allowing everybody to be able to watch at home, because it's not about a religious practice of being in a building. It's not about giving enough money. When we give, we do so out of a heart of compassion for the work that God's called us to do, to be able to serve our community and our neighbors as we've been able to do this week in partnership with other churches and the Golden Harvest Food Bank. But we don't do that in order to try to find forgiveness and hope. Jesus said he came to give us hope. And he said, I'm going to give you a forgiveness of your sins that is once for all time. This forgiveness that Jesus offers to you in his sacrifice on the cross, it pays for your sins once for all time. What does that mean? That means all of your sins from your past. It means your sins from yesterday. It means when you sin today, and it means your sins tomorrow and in the future. That doesn't mean we just go out and we live any way that we want to live, but what it means is even as we try to follow Jesus and we fall short, that He forgives us. That His sacrifice was once good, once for all time. And for you and me, when we are looking for hope, what we need is to be made brand new. We don't need to just patch up our lives and try to be morally good people and to try to patch up our lives. That won't work. What we need is somebody to make us brand new. And that's what Jesus tells us. He says that in Him, that as we trust in Him, that He makes us brand new. He says that He'll take your heart of stone. Maybe you struggle with anger. Maybe you struggle with bitterness. And He says, I'll take that heart of stone, that heart of indifference, that heart of racism. He says, I'll take that and I will make it a heart of flesh, that I will soften it. I will give you a new heart. I will make you a new creation. And so for those who are looking for hope this Easter, for those who are looking for some kind of answer in the midst of this COVID-19, something that we can anchor our lives in, it's the person of Jesus. Because we know, even Christians know, that this world will not be perfect. It's not always going to go our way. Christians are getting sick. It doesn't mean that things will always be comfortable and be convenient as we like it. But what it does tell us is that there is a hope that is within inside of us through the Spirit of God, that if something were to afflict us, that we can have contentment and we can have peace. If we were to get sick and die, that this world is not all that there is, but there is an eternity waiting for us in heaven where we can be in the presence of God for eternity. See, that's the promise that we have in Jesus. That is the hope that we have in Jesus. Not that everything's going to always be great here, but even in the storms of life, that we can have peace and we can have contentment. And we can know that there's a God that loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise that we have, that God, if He loved us so much to give us His Son Jesus, then He loves us enough not to abandon us and not to forsake us. And so for those who may not know this Jesus, for those who are looking for hope and you've found that this world has nothing to offer to you, Jesus says, I will give you hope once for all time. That the forgiveness that I give you for your sins is once for all time. That the peace that I give you will be once for all time. And so He gives us this promise. He says, we've been in a series called No Rival, and it tells us this. It tells us that in Christ, because of His shed blood on the cross, that He died, when He died for us, that because of Jesus and because of that sacrifice that He made, that He has forgiven us once for all time, but also that we have been made holy, blameless, without a single fault. That's how Jesus presents us to the Father, as holy, blameless, without a single fault. That's how you can live your life. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're going to be without sin. But what it does mean is that that's how God sees you, that He is pleased with you because of what Jesus did for you. That's the hope that you can have in Jesus. That's the contentment and the peace and the confidence that you can have in Jesus, that you are holy, blameless, without a single fault. But today on Easter, it's not just about Jesus' death, because had Jesus remained in the grave, then nothing would have changed for us. He would have been no different than any other man, except for the fact that Scripture teaches us that He lived His life perfectly, because He was both fully God and fully man. But what makes Easter such a great celebration, why we want to celebrate this day like no other, why it is the foundation of the church, is because this is the day that we celebrate that Jesus rose from the grave, that He rose to new life. And the Bible says that the very power of God that raised Jesus to new life will live within us, that He will come to live within you. You can have the power. When you feel like, God, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to respond to this new world that we're living in? The Bible tells us that He will give us a helper in the Holy Spirit to live within us, the Spirit of God. And so Jesus rose to new life so that you too can be risen to new life. You too can have new life so that when we die and when this world is over, we don't just remain in the grave and we don't have to face an eternity separated from God in hell because of those sins that we tried to patch up ourselves and we tried to fix ourselves. But in Christ, we can be resurrected to new life and we can dwell in the presence of God for eternity, once for all time. And so if you're listening to me today and you don't have this hope in Jesus, you've not placed your faith in Jesus for salvation, but you've been placing it in your own efforts and your own works. You've been placing it in religion and church attendance and following, being a good, morally good person. Or you've been placing it in the things of the world, but you're starting to see that those things will crumble and they will fall apart because they weren't designed for us to rely on them for our hope. If that's you, we are given a promise in Scripture that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That today, sitting right in your living room, wherever you're at in your bedroom, with a mobile device on your lap or watching on TV, the Bible tells us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because of His resurrection, that if we believe in our heart that He went to the cross for us, that means if you believe in your heart that Jesus went to the cross to take your place, to die for you. He didn't sin, but He took the payment for your sins. If you believe He did that for you, and that He was buried for 3 days, and then He rose to new life, if you believe that in your heart, He says, and we confess it with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. So right where you're at today, you can say a prayer. It's not a magic prayer. You can confess your sins. You can confess your need for Jesus. You can confess your belief that He went to the cross for you, that He was buried and He rose to new life on this Easter Sunday. And then you can ask Him to save you. And the Bible tells us that He'll save us. He'll forgive us once for all time. You can do that right where you're at. This could be the day of your salvation. This could be the day of your new beginning. And so, right where you're at, as I take a minute to pray for us, would you take a moment and would you pray and ask Christ to save you? Would you pray and repent of your sins and confess your need for Him? Because the Bible promises us that if we call on Him, He will save us. And He also promises us that He will forgive us once for all time. And He also promises you, even beyond that, that He will make you new. He will give you a new heart. He will give you a brand new beginning. And so right where you're at, would you pray with me? And if you make this commitment, I'm going to ask you, there should be a button for you to click under the screen if you're on our Church Online platform, or if you're in the comments section, or you can email us directly at our church at info@newpassionchurch.com. You can ask one of the chat hosts or share with them that you have trusted Christ. You can message them. You can directly comment to them on our Church Online platform. Please let someone know. Please click that button that says I've received Jesus and let us know so we can help walk with you and we can help you take your next steps. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank You for Your resurrection that we get to celebrate today at Easter. Thank You that Your sacrifice was once for all time. Thank You that You have shown us through all of the ways that we try to patch our lives that it is meaningless, that there is no way that we can patch our lives for the sin that we are guilty of, that we have sinned in so many great ways that going to church enough isn't going to forgive us. It's not going to save us. Being good enough isn't going to save us because we can't be good enough. So we thank You today that Your sacrifice on the cross was good once for all time, that it has provided hope for us to know that no matter what, how we fail, no matter how we trip up, no matter how we sin, that God, Your forgiveness covers that. And as we try to pursue and walk after You, that Your forgiveness follows us and it stays with us. And as we mess up, even no matter how hard we try to follow you, when we fall short, your forgiveness is there for us. And so I thank you through your forgiveness, through your shed blood on the cross, that we have been made whole, that we have been forgiven, that we are holy, blameless, without a single fault. My prayer right now, Father, is that through the blood of Jesus, those who are tuning in and those who are watching this message, that if they've not placed their faith in you for salvation, if they've not trusted in Christ and Christ alone for their salvation, that they would do that in this moment, that they would confess their need for you, they would confess that they recognize and they know that they are a sinner, and apart from you, that they cannot find forgiveness on their own. Apart from you, they will stay separated from you for eternity. But I thank you that through Jesus, you have given us the gift of eternal life. You have given us the gift of salvation. And so we don't have to live life without you. We don't have to face eternity without you. So whoever's tuning in right now, I pray that they would call out to you, that this would be the day of their salvation, that they would be made new in this moment. We love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for your salvation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.